The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Went on television and apologized for calling Lakin's murderer an illegal.
You used the word illegal.
He didn't want to call him illegal.
An undocumented person.
He said he should have called him an undocumented.
And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented.
Not an illegal, and he wanted to apologize.
An undocumented person.
Well, they have a new name, too. You know what the new name is? Neighbor.
And I shouldn't have used illegal.
They want to call him neighbor. They want to call him another name. Did you ever hear the other one? Newcomer.
And I shouldn't have used illegal.
A newcomer to our country.
An undocumented person.
No, he was illegal. And I say he was an illegal alien.
I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect.
He was an illegal immigrant.
An undocumented person.
He was an illegal migrant.
And I shouldn't have used illegal.
And he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy.
Again, if you're looking for a more stark contrast between our choices this November, I don't know that you're going to find one better than that. Let's welcome South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who is in Ohio today to campaign for Senate candidate Bernie Moreno. Welcome to AM 1420, The Answer. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
No, good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on. That clip is amazing because it exactly shows the choice that we have here in November. And he's not only an illegal migrant and immigrant, he's also a murderer and a criminal and needs to be locked up and put away for life outside of this country.
I mean, you know, what really makes it astounding to me, and this is the reason I wanted to ask you about it, Governor, is it's not just Joe Biden making the apology for using the term illegal to describe this killer of Lakin Riley, and President Trump promising justice to the family of Lakin Riley if he is returned to office. It's not just that Biden did it. It's that Biden knows he had to do it because his base was more outraged at his use of the word illegal than they were with the fact that Lakin Riley had her skull crushed in by this guy.
Well, and that's the extremism of the Democratic Party now that everywhere I go, I feel like I have to tell people, listen, this is no longer about Republicans and Democrats. This is about people who love America and people who hate America, because that is what Joe Biden is defending, is destroying our country and destroying people who come here, live by our laws, and just want an opportunity to be successful and to be safe. And every day that man gets up, it destroys those opportunities for everyday Americans just to live a normal life like we got the chance to when we were grown up.
Yeah, that's very well said, Governor. It's just so stark, the contrast. If Joe Biden is returned to office again, there will be more of those types of killers coming across in his border policies. And if President Trump is there, there will be less victims of illegal alien crime in this country. It's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. It is, and it's no secret that the people crossing that border, it's just not the cartels moving drugs and human trafficking, that these countries that hate us are emptying out their prisons, they're emptying out their mental health institutions. They have clearly gotten the message that our border is open, and they're getting rid of their responsibilities and sending them to America so that they don't have to deal with them anymore. That's the kind of people that are coming across that border that we're going to be paying the consequences for decades, generations, if we don't get Donald Trump back in the White House and deport them all.
You have been a very outspoken and unapologetic supporter of the president during the entire primary process, and a lot of people continue to link your name with his potential shortlist for vice presidential candidates. I'm sure you don't have anything to actually state definitively about that, but can you say, are you interested if your name is on said shortlist?
Well, I'm in Ohio today because he told me to come here. He told me to come here, make sure that Bernie's going to win, because he needs Bernie and guys like him that have actually run businesses and have made tough decisions. He wants U.S. senators that will actually place the votes to fix this federal government, to give him the opportunity when he's in the White House to govern and to clear out the swamp. So, yeah, President Trump knows that I support him, and I'll do all I can to help. And I'm more than thrilled to be back in Ohio with all you good people. I just want people to know that I know you have a primary going on, three different people, but Bernie is the guy that's been actually engaged in the battle for years and running businesses, and he's the one that President Trump wants.
Well, very well played, by the way. Very well played. Deflected to the Senate race from the vice president. I respect it. I do understand. We're talking with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem this morning. She is one of the most popular governors in the country and one of the very best. I've said that many, many times, not just when she's on the radio. But I do know you hear about this race. It is a tight one. Bernie Moreno and Frank LaRose, our Secretary of State, and Matt Dolan, one of our state senators, all within 2 points of one another, according to multiple polls, and some 30 to 40% of Republican voters in this primary say they're undecided. So, I mean, minds are going to have to be made up over the course of the next 8 days. Now, you said that President Trump asked you to come to Ohio and help him, but I know you believe in Bernie Moreno for your own reasons. Tell me why he's the right guy from those three for you.
I do. I've known Bernie for over a decade. I first met him when we were actually in Iowa campaigning for candidates. And what I was impressed always by Bernie is that he came to this country and built a business, made it very successful, continued to give more opportunities to other families to provide for their children and to put a roof over their heads. And then he didn't just go out there and, you know, say he cared about America. He actually went and knocked on doors for people, and he drove candidates around, and he wrote them checks, and now he's willing to put him and his family on the ballot and say, you know what, I'll take all the criticism, the fire, all the divisiveness that comes with politics, because I believe in this country so much that somebody's got to do it. So that's why President Trump wants Bernie, is because for years he has proven that he has the background and the experience to go to the U.S. Senate and to be different than what we've got out there right now. Right now we've got a bunch of senators that are squishes. They can't fix anything. They can't pass a bill to save their life or even fund the government. He wants somebody out there that will help him fix things, and he believes in him. And he's a great leader.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, I want to talk about people who are getting things done. You're doing things in South Dakota that impact the country. And, you know, obviously if Bernie Moreno or whichever of the three just needs to kick Sherrod Brown out of there, because all of them will be better and we will work toward getting a majority in the Senate. But yeah, they've got to come up with sound policy, including policy like what you just signed on the foreign-owned land bill. Tell us about that bill you signed in South Dakota and how important it is.
Yeah, we just signed the strongest bill in the nation to keep countries who hate us from buying our farmland, our land in South Dakota. And it's not just China, which is who we've seen aggressively start purchasing land in the United States. In fact, in the last 10 years, they've increased their purchases of American farmland by over 5,300%. And I've been involved in ag policy for over 30 years now. I've seen them buy our chemical companies, our fertilizer companies, our genetics they've stolen. They own our processing systems. Now they're buying our land. And we also, in this bill, banned other countries such as Venezuela, North Korea, Iran, Russia, Cuba from buying any of our property as well. They'd never allow us to purchase their land in their countries. There's no reason we should give them a foothold here. And it is part of our national security plan to make sure that we know who our neighbors are, and that our neighbors are people who love us, and that they love America and want to be in America, not that they're part of the CCP.
You know, I'm so glad that you're doing that in South Dakota, and you're right, it's not just China, but they are clearly the most aggressive in this. And when you add the amount of farmland that they have bought up and where it is near military bases and so forth, add that to the 4,000% increase in illegal crossings by Chinese nationals.
Right.
You just kind of wonder what is coming here. But it has to happen in more than just South Dakota. Have you had any other, you know, communication with other governors that are considering similar legislation?
Yes, other governors are going to do this as well. We are the first state in the country that goes into session and the first one that is out of session. So our legislative session in South Dakota lasts less than 40 days every year. Many times we are the state that runs a bill first and makes sure that it's right, and then other states look at it and pick it up, and then they bring it to their state and do it as well. So I'm hoping many of these other states will look at this law and decide to pass it in their own legislative sessions as well. We were the first state to ban TikTok. After that, dozens of states and federal government banned TikTok, but we've been the only state to stay open. We never defined essential businesses. We never mandated anything. We've been the first one to lead on turning down elevated unemployment benefits. Our state is thriving and has historic revenues and no debt, and we have no income tax, no personal property tax, and our people are thriving. People are moving to our state by the thousands because we do conservative policies. And That's really the narrative that we need for this election cycle, is that we don't have to talk anymore about what we believe. We've actually done it in South Dakota, and it works. And just need to make sure that people know. People need to know that it works and creates more opportunity for them.
Yeah, that's the reason you're one of the most popular governors, as I said, coming in here. And it's been that way for, you know, since your time there. And everybody's really come to see what you've done. You walk it. You don't just talk it in South Dakota. And, in fact, to that end, let me ask you about one other piece of legislation, HB 176, that you signed. You know, shortly after October 7th and the massacre in Israel, there was a, you know, groundswell of support in this country among really everybody for the Israeli people. But shortly after that, when Israel started to fight back and defend itself, a lot of the anti-Semitism was restored and people started to blame them. They're committing genocide and so forth. But mm-hmm. You have signed a very important anti-Semitism law in South Dakota. Can you explain that?
We did. We have a bill that we signed into law that I brought forward with the help of a couple of our legislators that defines what anti-Semitism is and puts examples into statute that will help us defend in court and identify these hate crimes and prosecute people for participating in them. It is extremely strong language. It is something that will give us the chance to win these court cases and make sure that we're shutting down what we've seen across this country recently after October 7th and make sure that the Jewish people know that we don't just support them with words. We will support them in our laws and in protecting them and making sure they have every opportunity to be safe and thrive in South Dakota, but outside of South Dakota. This bill, I know already we've had dozens of phone calls from legislators across the country that are saying, how did you do that? Can you send it to us? Because we want to do the same thing in our state, because they're horrified by the support of pro-Hamas groups in this country and what they've done on our college campuses and in some of our biggest cities to terrorize the Jewish people.
We are talking this morning with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. She is not only a phenomenal governor, she is also a former congresswoman, which means you know the swamp well. You know, you serve as an executive in Pierre, but you served as a congresswoman in D.C. Can you describe the swamp for us? Because President Trump, of course, is tasked with what he has promised, which is to drain the swamp. You know, perhaps mm-hmm. some of that was done in the first term, but it is still very, very clearly a huge job in front of him. What will it take if President Trump is able to make it back? And again, seeking even small majorities in both houses, what will it actually take to drain that swamp, Governor?
Well, he's going to have to, you know, do a lot of the same policies that he did before, but also make sure that he's cleaning house a little farther down into the bureaucracy as well. I was blessed to be able to serve in Congress when he was in the White House. So I was passionate about tax reform, and we got the chance to sign that bill into law when he was president. We spent over 2 years working on that policy that put more money in Americans' pockets, and so that was wonderful. I decided to run for governor because I wanted to be a CEO. Governors get up every day and they get the chance to make decisions that go into place immediately and can make people's lives better. But I'll tell you, Bob, the one thing is I had President Trump as my president for 2 years, the first 2 years that I was governor, and I was on offense every day. We were solving problems and being aggressive on economic growth and helping families. And as soon as Joe Biden went into that White House, I went on defense. All I do now is fight to protect my people and their freedoms and sue the federal government for overstepping their authorities and trying to take away my right to be commander in chief of my National Guard to protect my people. And it's a night and day change. And I would absolutely love to have a president back in the White House that respects the role of the state and protects states' rights and lets governors do their job.
We are talking with Governor Kristi Noem. She's in Ohio today, campaigning for Bernie Moreno in the very, very close Republican primary fight for Senate. Bernie Moreno, Frank LaRosa, Matt Dolan, very, very closely locked, according to many surveys. And Governor Noem is here to try to tip that over to Governor or to Bernie Moreno. But you've also been busy on another project. You're a best-selling author, and you're back at it. Governor Kristi Noem, No Going Back is the new book. The truth on what's wrong with politics and how we move America forward. I am so interested in your entire backstory about how you got where you are today. Can you tell me if this book goes into that depth, or is this more about aspirational things moving forward?
Well, it does a little bit of both. I think the first book that I wrote was a New York Times best-selling book. It was called Not My First Rodeo, and it was a lot of my story growing up and how I ended up into politics and some of my experiences. This second book, No Going Back, is a little more unfiltered. It's got some stories in there that people are going to know that is more my thoughts of what I think of politics, why I think President Trump broke politics, why that's a good thing, And that it's a wonderful thing because we have a much more honest conversation now about the corruption that we have in our federal government. And it's almost a how-to book for the average citizen on what they can do to really make a difference to turn this country around. I think that they will love it. For me, it was very fun to write because it was very candid and shared some stories that people will be very interested in reading. And I think that every person who reads every chapter will walk away from that chapter and say, okay, I can do that. That makes sense, and that will make a difference. And here's where it worked and why it's good that President Trump is having the conversations that he's been having.
Governor, you talk in this book, I understand, about not going back to the Republican Party of the 2000s. What was that party compared to the party today? Because a lot of people say that the party of Trump is a little more chaotic because he brings some chaos. And I guess if you're going to disrupt the establishment the way that it is, you kind of have to bring some of that chaos. And I know a lot of people see that word negatively, but I think there can be some positive to it. But the Republican Party of the 2000s versus the 2020s, the difference is what?
Well, we're not going back to the days of Mitt Romney and the Cheneys. I mean, that was the status quo. That was, you know, funneling money to your friends and becoming more and more indebted to other countries like China and letting them control our monetary supply and letting the bureaucrats run the joint. And that just doesn't happen with Donald Trump. He got very candid about the swamp and the shadow government that runs and makes decisions and that he's going to break that up. And, yeah, it's not going to be easy. But it's going to be something that he'll be honest about. And I've never seen somebody who has so much coming after him every day to try to stop him. And he still gets up believing in this country and believing in the everyday American and fights for us. So it's pretty inspirational. I think we can live with a little bit of chaos. We'll all remember that we're doing this because we still have hope for this country. If we lose this country, where do we go? I mean, there's no place better. And I think that's the conversation I have with President Trump all the time is he gets that. He's been and done business in other places in the world, and he just said this is the last country where people can have the opportunities that we have. So if we let this go, where do we go and where do our children go? That's why he's in this fight.
Governor, last thing for you this morning. I'm so glad you just mentioned the word Cheney, because you want to talk about everything that they have done to try to stop Donald Trump from day one. It includes the January 6th committee. One of the top news stories that we have this morning is the revelation that the January 6th committee literally falsely claimed that they had no evidence showing former President Trump tried to get the National Guard to be on detail providing security at the Capitol on that day, because he knew there were going to be his supporters there asking a respectful, you know, patriotically and peacefully asking for a pause in the certification of the election so that an audit can be conducted. And he knew that protests always bring counter protests. And to make sure there was nothing that got out of hand, he wanted the National Guard there. There was evidence of it, and that committee intentionally buried that evidence. What does that say about the true depth of the swamp and about those people like Liz Cheney?
It's just a continuation of the lies that they've been trying to sell for years about there was no Hunter Biden laptop, there was Russia collusion. I mean, it's just another one of those lies that I hope once more that the American people's eyes are being opened up to the continual disgrace that our leaders and that what that committee did and the disinformation and the lies that they spread in order just to take down a president they didn't like.
Yeah, I think that's well said. It's just it's amazing the depths to which they will go, though, in order to try to stop him. If they can't beat him at the ballot box, they're going to try to beat him in the courts. If they can't beat him in the courts, they're going to try to, make up things like this, make up things like insurrections and try to completely change the narrative. It's so good for the president, the former president, and hopefully future president, that he has you on his side. It is equally a positive for Bernie Moreno that you are in Ohio today campaigning for him. We need to take that Senate back. We need strong leaders there, and we certainly respect your position on this, Governor Noem, and we thank you so very much for being here.
Well, make no mistake that Bernie is the guy that President Trump wants. He knows he's a fighter and that he knows that he's the guy that will actually go there and help him get the job done. So I hope everybody today listening to this interview, if you haven't made up your mind, go vote for Bernie. You can today, and then go tell a bunch of your friends to vote for Bernie too. This is a primary that's incredibly important, and we got to have the right guy that actually will back up the president when he needs him draining out this swamp.
It is extraordinarily important. I hope you enjoy your visit to the Buckeye State Governor. We hope we can chat again. Thank you so much.
Always do. Thanks, Bob.
God bless.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.